I'm Michael Lippin, and this is Voice of America's VOA China 360, a weekly podcast looking at how China influences the rest of the world, including America, and how China is influenced by the world. In this edition, we're going to hear about China's goal of becoming a global maritime power. Chinese leaders have been pursuing that goal for years, but it's their recent efforts to achieve maritime power status that have been attracting greater scrutiny here in the United States. In the past few months, several U.S. analysts with expertise on China's maritime capabilities have provided new insights into what is driving the Chinese advances and what they mean for America. One of them is retired U.S. Rear Admiral Michael McDevitt, who is a senior fellow at the CNA Corporation in Washington. In a June report, McDevitt shared his findings about why China wants to become a great maritime power. And he told me on the phone that Beijing has several key motives.
Strategically, their situation has changed dramatically over the last 20 to 25 years in the sense that they are incredibly dependent now on trade that travels mainly by sea. They have over a million people working abroad and just in Africa, who knows how many else, others somewhere in the Gulf and what have you. So they have lots of Chinese citizens abroad, and they've had in the past to evacuate them because they're in some fairly dangerous countries, such as Yemen or Libya. And the resources in the sea are seen as very important for China, and particularly the fish. As the demand signal for protein has gone up in Chinese life, as people become more well-to-do, they want more protein and fish. Fish provides a large amount of that. In fact, last year, China consumed 50% of all the fish consumed in the world. And so fish are a major protein source. So, as well as they're looking for gas and oil in offshore areas like the South China Sea and East China Sea. So the other thing, of course, is the fact that their unresolved strategic or sovereignty issues are maritime in nature. Taiwan is an island. That's inherently a maritime military problem. The islands that they claim in the South China Sea, in the East China Sea, are obviously inherently maritime. And finally, because they've studied history and they've reached the conclusion that all of the great powers in world history that lasted any time at all were maritime powers as well as, or that contributed to their great power status. Obviously, the most recent example is the United States. So this combination of things is what really is a determining factor.
McDevitt found that China has been developing the resources it needs to be a maritime power at a rapid pace. But he said that pace is not rapid enough for the Chinese leadership.
They already have the world's largest fishing fleet. They have quickly been expanding a newly formed Coast Guard. So in terms of Coast Guard vessels, especially large Coast Guard vessels, over 1,000 tons in displacement, they already are the leading Coast Guard in the world in terms of numbers. They're at the top of shipbuilding around the world in terms of quantity, and they already have a very large merchant marine in the sense of ships that are either owned by Chinese citizens or owned by Hong Kong citizens. And so, they already have quite a formidable array of maritime capabilities. So it's fair to say, as you say, where do they see the shortfall? Well, in a couple of places. In shipbuilding, they want to move up the value chain by building more complex ships. Most of the ships that they have been building are large break bulk carriers and container ships, which are, in the scheme of things, relatively simple. But they want to move into the realm of be able to build liquid LNG tankers, commercial passenger ships. In other words, ships that are very complicated and to build But it's not that they can't build complicated ships, but they have to be able to do it at a market price. And right now, the South Koreans can still do those sorts of things more efficiently than China can. Another area, as I mentioned, the Coast Guard has been recently formed only in the last 4 years or so. And it was formed by essentially combining four independent maritime law enforcement or some sort of regulatory bodies, mushing them together. And they still have a long way to go in terms of building a cohesive maritime entity that's a Coast Guard. So while they have ships, they have not achieved a smooth running and as effective an organization as they wish.
China's maritime power ambitions have a major military component as well. McDevitt wrote in his report that he expects the Chinese Navy to grow into the world's largest in terms of combatant and submarine vessels by around 2020. He told me that China is trying to better defend its offshore waters and more distant waters from threats that it perceives to be posed by rival powers.
Just by looking at a map, the sea lanes across the Indian Ocean travel just south of India, and the Indian Navy have a number of individuals now retired largely, have been busy writing papers over the years and making statements that if a war breaks out between China and India over the northern border, that India has leverage because it could interrupt China's sea lanes. So China obviously noted that. And we've had any number of U.S. Experts, some of which are work at our National Defense University, who have written papers that have been published widely, that said the best way to bring China to its knees is to interrupt its sea lanes. So you have two potential enemies, India or the United States, making noises that if the chips are down and conflict should break out, that China's sea lanes would be attacked. Now, obviously, the Chinese realize this by just looking at a map. But when you have people who are not government officials but who are affiliated with the government, who are writing things for a government institution like National Defense University, it raises questions, obviously, in Chinese minds that, gee, these guys might be seriously planning to interrupt our sea lanes in case of conflict.
Another U.S. analyst who has been watching China's maritime activities is Dean Cheng of the Washington-based research center, the Heritage Foundation. Cheng shared his observations last month in testimony to the U.S. House Foreign Affairs Subcommittee on Asia and the Pacific. He said China is using its recent creation of artificial islands in the South China Sea to provide more options for defense, despite an international tribunal's July ruling that Beijing has no special rights to do that.
Unfortunately, the Chinese effort to safeguard its interests is expressed by extending Chinese sovereignty over what had been international common spaces. China's efforts to bring the South China Sea into the umbrella of Chinese control has led to remarkably intemperate remarks regarding the Permanent Court of Arbitration's findings. The Chinese foreign minister termed them a political farce. The ambassador to the United States termed them a matter of professional incompetence. What this suggests, and what this should serve as a warning, is that the United States, as the keystone upholding international order and the main advocate for international law and norms, must respond strongly through a combination of FONOPs, arms sales, robust presence, but above all, countering Chinese efforts at political warfare to undermine the legitimacy of the international order.
U.S. Rear Admiral McDevitt says ensuring that U.S. forces can keep operating in East Asia is one of the few steps that Washington can take in response to Chinese actions.
You have an ongoing competition. It's been going on for years, quite frankly, between China putting in place capabilities such as their anti-ship ballistic missiles and submarines and what have you to deny access. And conversely, the United States has been working on introducing capabilities that would assure access. So that's one aspect of this, of China's ambitions, that we have some ability to influence. But as I say, this is China doing what China thinks it needs to do. And there's, as I say, there's really nothing that we could do about it, nor should we try to do anything about it.
What do you think about China's push to become a maritime power? And how do you think the United States should react? You can share your thoughts on Twitter at VOAChina360 and on my Facebook profile, Michael.Lippin, as well as on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/VOA-English. You can also subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Just search for VOA China 360. That's it for me for this week. Bye for now.